Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Mark Paul, London correspondent of the Irish Times, good morning.
Good morning, Brendan.
Mark, it felt like a day of big political change in the UK yesterday. So as we know, Deputy Prime Minister Angela Rayner resigned not only as Deputy PM, but from the deputy leadership of the Labour Party. And she was in trouble for not paying the correct stamp duty on a seafront flat she bought in Hove in Sussex. But meanwhile, you were in Birmingham at the Reform UK conference, which seems to have been viewed as another big step in their breakthrough. And you were kind of at the intersection of these two stories yesterday. It sounds like Nigel Farage was pretty pleased with himself as the Rayner news broke, was he?
He was, yeah. I mean, he wasn't due to go on stage to give his big rah-rah speech at the conference until about 10 past four. But at about 20 to 12, 20 minutes before noon, news kind of broke that Angela Rayner was probably going to go. And within 5 or 6 minutes, he appeared on the floor of the conference with a big scrum of photographers and hangers-on and people cooing at him and all the rest of it, because he wanted to soak up some of that attention. And he was afraid that the Angela Rayner story would push him off the front pages. So he brought forward his big speech to 1 o'clock, and he got up and basically inserted himself into the coverage of Angela Rayner with all of the big broadcasters and made it a story about Labour turmoil. Of course, all of the Reform UK devotees and faithful were all breaking out in cheers and applause over Angela Rayner's fate. And of course, Nigel Farage brought back that lovely valuable attention back onto him and made the best of it.
Now, you have to say it looked from watching it last night, there's a good buzz at this Reform conference. A, people are pointing out it's their most professional operation yet, but also an almost Trumpian sense of people there very excited about politics, a kind of an element of showbiz about it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've been at a lot of Reform rallies and conferences over the last couple of years. Now, I was at the Reform conference last year, and I arrived at 10:30 in the morning, and people were drinking beer out of 2-pint glasses. Right? It was a rally with beer. This year, it was less of a rally and more of a conference. I mean, there was debates taking place in different party institute for government type debates, and you know, there was a Heathrow lounge, and there was more of a corporate feel to it. It struck me as kind of like a very right wing Tory conference that shrunk in the wash. Right. So it was a little bit smaller than that. The colour ran out of it a little bit, but there was lots of excitement, as you say. I mean, Reform UK is less of a political party and more of a movement. It covers more than politics. It covers culture and how people view themselves and identity. And they are on the march everywhere across Britain, not just in England.
Yeah. And if you can win the hearts, it's better than winning the heads in politics right now, isn't it? Going back to Angela Rayner. She's a kind of an interesting, colourful, kind of a relatable character, isn't she, with a great backstory as well. I think a lot of people are kind of sad to see her fall like this. Tell us a bit about her.
Yeah, Angela Rayner is, she's quite a polarising figure, I think, in Britain as well. I mean, there's a bit of a Marmite quality to her. You either love her or you hate her. But her backstory is very interesting. I mean, she was a teenage mother. She was a grandmother in her 30s. She worked, you know, she came from a very, very working class, difficult background, worked night shifts in a care home, then went into the trade union movement. People spotted her talent there. She's quite, she's quite out there and loud and brash. And, you know, she worked her way up to the trade union movement, was elected as an MP in 2015, and very quickly was on Jeremy Corbyn's front bench and is now, or was until yesterday, the Deputy Prime Minister. Now, the people who don't like her, the right-wing British press really don't like her, the Telegraph and the Mail and people like that. And the other side of the coin, the people who do like her, I mean, they paint her as this kind of red-haired Mother Teresa-type figure who broke through every mold of politics. She's a very warm person, Angela Rayner, if you meet her. And as you say yourself, she's very, very relatable. You used to, before she was in government, you used to see her on the terrace outside the bar and the House of Commons a lot. You didn't see her there in the last while. She kind of kept behind closed doors. But now her talent is lost in the front benches.
Okay. And just briefly then to finish up, how bad is this for the Labour Party? How bad is it for Keir Starmer?
Terrible. I mean, they were in an awful place. Yesterday, I spoke to a lot of Labour MPs last night. They were very sad about what happened. Keir Starmer had a big reshuffle to try and take the bad luck off it. But Labour is in a very, very difficult spot. It's struggling. It's being squeezed on its left by the Green Party and Corbynites and the Gaz Independents, and on its right by Reform. And Keir Starmer has to carve a way through the middle of that. And that's very, very difficult indeed for him.
And do I get the sense that they, like, people mightn't think of the election for the new deputy leadership of Labour being a big deal, but there seems to be a history of these being a bloodbath where the left of the party might rise up against the hierarchy of the party.
That's right. I mean, there's a history of that position causing difficulty. If you're cashing mind back to when Tom Watson was deputy leader of the Labour Party, the Corbynites actually had a vote to try and abolish the job altogether because they couldn't get him out of it. So, Angela Rayner was a deputy leader. We'll see who wins that election. You need 80 supporters, 80 MPs to put your name forward. So, I mean, they won't be able to, a small faction of the party won't be able to put somebody up unless they can get 80 MPs to back them. But it's exactly what the Labour Party just need right now, which is an internal debate about the future of the party when Keir Starmer wants to put the focus on the country.
Yeah, okay. Our own Morgan O'Sullivan is going to be busy, I suspect, over the next months. Okay, Mark Paul, thank you very much.